December 2nd, Committee of the Whole. Fellow Chairman Mike.
I'd like to call the Order Committee of the Whole meeting for the Village of Round Lake, December 2nd, 2013, 7:19 p.m. Madam Clerk, roll call.
Trustee Clemens.
Present.
Trustee Fred.
Present.
Trustee Newby.
Present.
Trustee Semenzelli.
Present.
Trustee Tripham.
Present.
Trustee Rudinsky.
Thank you. Motion for item 2.1, approve the minutes. The Committee of the Whole meeting for November 18th, 2013.
Second.
Motion made by Trustee Tripham, seconded by Trustee Clemens. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Community development. Yes.
In addition to Santa Supper, that Friday night is also casino night at Buffalo Wild Wings. So we can show up based on.
Thank you.
After our free lighting, of course. Who's doing the casino night? It's the Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, okay.
And that is well. And it's at Buffalo Wild Wings. I don't know what you know what that is.
Richard Black decided, well, actually, they started in the afternoon. They had cash games. But the tournament starts, the tournament starts. So, right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Any other comment? Community development. Henry, would you still think you'd be better off of there? When you have something, let us know. We'll put it back on.
That's fine. That works.
Human resource and finance.
2013 proposal tax study. Last meeting, we had a couple of options going back and forth. Put a little more time into it, a little more conversation, and a little more thought into it. And I think it's safe to assume that at this point in time, Trustee Clemens and I, as the Finance Committee, would like to propose that we adopt the 0.62% option, and what we would be capturing then is just basically our new growth and the street and bridge. So we're taking very minimal. We're not taking anything that we are truly not entitled to, and certainly we're not taxing just for the sake of taxing because we have that option. We're doing this very responsibly, very carefully, and I think very thoughtfully. Just seems fitting to say it again, though.
Professor Bones?
No, I think Sue summed it up well. I mean, we did have a lot of discussion, and I think one of the things we talked about are some recommendations for our fiscal process next year, so that, you know, because I raised some of the concerns about past performance, and do we take that into consideration when we consider a levy? And we really generally don't. We start with the last year's ask, and we base our decision on changes to that. So you know, I think Steve agreed that we're going to put in a process where at the end of the fiscal year, next June, we'll have a discussion about the actual fiscal performance of the village and actually have a discussion about how are we going to react to that, whether it's a surplus or a negative, you know, what are we going to do, and how do we want to factor that into the next year's, if that falls, budget and levy discussions. So, but for now, we're going to follow the outline process that Steve has laid out and choose the minimum option that we can and still capture new revenue without, and revenue that we know we're not going to get the pension to cover the pension increases and the loss of the road and bridge.
And I think, too, that the new approach that you're talking about, Greg, is important for all of us to understand. This is really happy that this board in particular is going to be looking at that. It's different, and it's a big departure from what most boards do when it comes to a tax levy. So I'm really happy that we can all be a part of it and a little bit different on behalf of our residents.
I would like to commend the board, and especially the liaisons in the department, for the work that you put together in the last couple of meetings. We certainly have expressed a philosophical approach on tax levies and how to approach them, and looking at fiscal budgets, looking at capital improvements, and how we have to apply these things, and still come out on top of the ball game and run a good business, but also being extremely aware that these are our taxpayers' dollars. And the approach that you're taking, I commend you. I commend you for the work on it, and we've held things to an absolute minimum. And bravo to you just for all the hard work.
Just one question. In regards to homeowners, what's the cost of these homeowners?
If you're only, really what's happening here is we're capturing the growth, and we're adjusting the levy to make sure we capture the reduction of $60,000. So technically, it's a high figure. There's no impact on the current resident. It all works out right. Does that make sense? Because the new development we're capturing, because right now that's all we're really doing by that 0.6% increase, plus the amount we're going to lose when they adjust. So when everything stays exactly the same, there would be no high after.
So the amount again is 0.62?
0.62%.
Well, it's going to happen now. Ordinance, they'll have a level of slightly higher than that because it will be adjusted, and that will be presented at the next board meeting by going through detail and then whatever else we need, just like prove it out or say this is what we're doing.
So the one you have down there is 0.75 now, right? So is that the increase?
I look at option number 4. Originally we had option number 4.
Right.
And when you see that it's the adjusted levy, that's what it's to be adjusted for. The actual ordinance is going to be slightly higher than that. The town is going to adjust the
Good. Thank you again for the hard work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The tax levy abatement ordinances.
2013 tax levy abatement ordinance is issued every year. It's actually a necessity. It's kind of like cleaning up the paperwork for the year. These are obligations that we have that.
Our ordinances that we pass for bonds specifically say that we will use other revenue sources other than property taxes to pay for our debt service. And so by passing these ordinances, we're saying that's what we're going to do. There's a couple of sections of the Lakewood abatement that is done by special consultants. We don't do the full amount, so they have paid a portion of it. And then we have the Bright Meadows SSA. I basically look at the cash balances. Right now it's around $100,000. Their maximum tax levy, I believe right now, would be like $147. We have paid about $55 every year. The balance is getting too high to cover the expenses, so we decided to pay to help all the residents and stuck with $55 per address, per person, or per address.
Just so everybody's also aware, the Lakewood Grove Special Service Area and the Bright Meadows Special Service Area, those monies are already captured by those residents specifically. This is not a tax that is not a burden on any other homeowners that it ever can be. unless you live within those two areas under those specific MSAs. So that money is being collected by the village to pay these particular bonds, so that's taken care of.
It can be used only for those.
Only. It's clearly dedicated and for nothing else.
That is right.
Thank you. Very good. Any other questions? Ryan, anything with Public Works? Very good. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Special events we talked about, Vicki will send updates. I guess one thing is, what day would we like Trustee Clemens to send the next CTY out?
Well, it definitely needs to go out for Wednesday, so you can record that prior, right? So at his convenience, he can record it.
Say the mayor's old script if you want to use it.
It's tricky. We'll talk before you do it.
Thank you, Greg. We greatly appreciate your part of that.
And you have to sing. So yeah, he did the 5 minute one, I get the 25 minutes.
But I get the credit off Vicki's ID. Building and zoning police, nothing.
One more thing to add to, Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Well, he does the phone call, but we also add in the house decorating contest. That announcement.
How about the Vicki?
Just
check
the
info
to go forward with it.
Right.
Check the web page for registration.
Whatever.
Anything else?
Wishing everyone a wonderful
experience. We'll talk to Vicki about that, see if it's ready.
Thank you.
Okay. Police Department Chief.
Mr. Mayor, members of the board, I just want to take an opportunity, and I'll be very short. I don't have a lot of information to give you right now, other than trying to get your approval. With the departure of Deputy Chief Boyd, I'd like to ask permission to dissolve the deputy chief position and create two commander positions in the police department. One would be an administrative commander that would work with administrative duties almost solely, and the other the patrol commander or operations commander that will help deal with just police work in the boots on the street. It will help line things a little bit more, a lot more smoothly. Things will get done better and with a higher quality, I think, of work. The one caveat with this structure is, besides replacing Deputy Chief's voice position, we would need to hire a new patrol officer because we would be bringing up another supervisor message. And by the next meeting, I'll have, if you feel that this is a worthwhile venture, I'll have all that information for you on the dollars and cents portion of it. And the process on how these people will be appointed to the position, but I can assure you that the manner in which they'll be appointed will be as fair as it probably will ever get, because that's an important asset or facet of this to me and the members of the police department to make sure that at the end of the day, everyone feels that they were served properly and had an opportunity to advance their career if they wanted to, or at least had the opportunity to try. And another side benefit of this is because we are a small department, we don't have a lot of things to try to grow and achieve in our careers here, specifically the members of the department, and this gives them one more avenue to try and strive for and try to attain throughout their career. And that is a big deal in a small department. For many years, people thought Francis Foy would be here for another 20, and then one day he left. And this is opening up an opportunity to serve the people that work in for the village as well, and what about something that was slightly. I'll give you more information at the next meeting. If you could email me or something and give me if you have questions, let me know. If you don't think it's a good idea, tell me how I can make it better. I talked to our committee liaisons. They're in favor. Talked to Mayor McGillison, Minister Crazy, and I believe they are also in favor of this.
It's been a long time coming. In the past, we've actually had these two positions before, but they were lieutenants. Then we did away with the lieutenant's positions and went back to Deputy Chief, and I think this was just much better, much more organized. Thank you, Chief, for giving us the help. It needs to be done.
I've actually worked under this particular structure, so I know that it works. I have full support, I'm fully in support of the chief on this particular move.
So just a couple of questions. So the commander position, is that a lieutenant position then?
No.
Commander
position.
Between sergeant and lieutenant?
In police nomenclature or rank structures, the commander position is usually an exemplary position, where here our lieutenants are a member of, are appointed by the commission, so they're a commission rank. And the exemplary gives them a little bit more authority, gives us a little bit more authority, and it's just a more mature way of doing things, and they're not in the union.
They're like an NCO almost, in the military?
Yeah.
Okay, exactly.
Gives the chief more flexibility, too.
Yeah, okay.
Which is
my motivation in this is not so much to get rid of, it'll be more work trying to nurture them. But the point of it, in my perspective, is one day when I'm not here, whenever that comes, I'm hoping and praying that I'll have two people that will be able to, you'll be able to compete against them. They'll be able to compete with my job, rather than you spending thousands of dollars and hours and time. Get another chief as hopefully we'll have those people in our house to do that for
you. In my opinion, they will have one heck of a mentor.
I hope so.
One other quick question. So the fleet and facilities, I noticed they're not under the administration commander.
I prefer to have them work directly with me because we're spending a lot of money with cars and making purchases. I like to try to make, we work really well together. It reduces the stress and it reduces the middleman in the process and keeps a better relationship and trying to keep that overseen.
That also was a change in the past. It was under administrator's side and that just didn't work. There's too many people to get through to get that isn't done. So the simple right to the chief, a lot more is getting done with quicker.
With our two commanders, you obviously already have in mind who you're replacing?
No, absolutely not. This isn't something I tried to spring on yet at the last moment. I tried to vet it through as many places as I can to try and make sure everybody that I can would be on board. You ultimately have a final say. When I talked to the people, I would only open this to sergeants and five people that would test for this. I'd give them the three books I've got on my desk there. Are the books that I'll use for this test and a couple other things that I've lost real food and emergency management. They wouldn't have to study the whole book. I'll outline things I want them to learn. It's important that they learn the things that are important for their job, not just everything, the history of St. Halifax Bay massacres. I mean, they don't need to know that. There are things, police structures, community policing, getting out into the community, walking the street is important to me.
that blue book spends a lot of time talking about some of those kind of endeavors. So they would have a written test. They would have an interview with a committee. They would have an interview with me. We'll take into consideration time on the job, education, and whatever I think anyone else within reason feels is important to be included in there. And at the end of the day, I hope the best come forth, and I hope they all do. I intend to try to help and be helpful. I can't make them read, but I can give them the information. I'll do a study group with them. I'll do everything I can without giving them any answers.
And if you don't have the two that would qualify, have you given that up?
Qualifying, you put them in for it or just not pass them? I won't structure it so that they fail, you know, just whoever is the best. We have to work with what we have. We have to draw a line and start growing the people and really investing in them.
This will be done in-house.
That's my point.
We
are
going to
use
it. Yes. But you have to achieve it. They are not active. May or June, we're interviewing everybody, and the chief came to us, and he had his plan in his mind already outlined ahead of time. He said, someday this is what I would love to do that. But the time is right and everything, well, the stars align. Well, right now the stars are aligned. And he said, you know, go for it.
This was the proposal that he had when he first was hired. That's what he had wanted, and the entire administration tied his hands and I think she can do a great job.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great that you're trying to create more opportunity within as well, so that there is more time for the world to try and stay with the village around them too, because they will feel there's more opportunities. Thank
you. I think that's been one of the things our officers have been talking about, that there isn't a whole lot of opportunity to get something, you know, to grab the brass ring, if you will. Down, you've just created a new grass ring, and I think that's going to pique a few people's interest and a few other officers to think that you want to grow here. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, do you have any questions?
No, I just feel absolutely confident, Chief, that by the year 2040, when I will finally accept your letter of resignation, we will be in good hands. Thank you, Chief. Russ, anything you need to add?
One brief. Last week, I had an application come in for a home business. I had another one come in over the weekend for another home business. So I started talking to Monica about home businesses and licenses. And found out that, I mean, by the code, they're about it, but we don't sell licenses. We don't keep track of them. We have a real hard time with this. The state of Illinois says it's every month what our tax money is supposed to be for our businesses and stuff. And we don't have a listing to go by. We don't know if anyone's filed. And the last one that just came in here last week, I talked to the chief about this afternoon. We have a gentleman who wants to sell that about his house. And he's telling me that somewhere else in his subdivision, somebody's already doing this for them. I have a lot of businesses, but I've said since I've come here, I do everything I can to. Selling guns out of a house, to me, is not the place to be doing business. Stockpile guns, stockpile ammo, chief and I are saying there's no patrol. The unsavory characters are going to find out where this person is. They're going to be on a map for somebody to come and live in law. This could be the neighborhood in danger. I just think the whole situation is not a very good scenario at this point in time. So two things I'd like to do is go through with Martha, see exactly how many home businesses we have. She knows of. I'd like to charge, so right now our business license fee is $50. I said, I'll charge you this cap on that. Because it's just going to be administrative. But at least I want a listing. I want a going address, commodity, owner, what they're doing with their businesses. And then so we can also double check the state of Illinois. by making sure that that tax money that's due is gets back to us, because we don't know if we're getting it, if we filed for it, or it's at right now. There might be a few pennies here, a few pennies there, but every penny adds up. But right now, just, we've already got an only gun sales out there somewhere on somebody's house. Now the second one is coming late. I think we got to do something to tighten that down, and Chief of that, we're talking about maybe some rules and regulations about, you know, exactly what type of whole business in your office. You know, somebody that's got to be insurance people work out of their homes, stockbroker works out of their homes. But you can think of a lot of scenarios where a person is working out of their homes, they're using a phone or a fax machine, and it's very minimal, no impact, nobody's coming in. That's what the code says. You can't be storing material and supplies, you can't have a traffic pattern, you can't, you know, have special trucks and stuff parked in your yard. But I'm really nervous about the gunfire now. So it's just something that I just want to make sure we start doing this so much. We're putting together an ordinance to be keeping track of home sales and businesses, charging them in the 25 hours, and I'll work with Monica and the attorneys and see how we can regulate this, or at least keep a listing of what we have.
Chief, even when we're in FFL, got to send you a letter.
Exactly. I know of nobody other than Omnop and one other person in town that has a fireworks business. They have a store of the stuff here, but they arrange fireworks shows to 4th of July.
Yeah.
Those are the only ones I'm aware of.
But if you contact the DEA, they will tell you all of the federal firearms licensees that are in the village of Brown Lake. Because they also have to tell them what hours they are open for sale, what hours they're not open for sale. At the same time, you probably get a listing of all the people who have FFLs under curios and relics at the same time. Now, they're not allowed to sell guns.
The problem is that's in the shadowing. We don't even know that.
They don't, they're breaking the law.
Right. They have to fit the requirements for that for an FFL, period. You must send it, even though...
It's the ATF.
Right. ATF, you actually have to send him a letter.
Right.
And tell him that
you... That's why I thought it was. I wanted to know if he had anything on record or he knew of anybody. He said
right.
No, but he said nothing.
Right.
Russ, I received a letter from the state as far as all the businesses that apply, and I cross-referenced to a list that Martin had given me, and I actually talked to the mayor about it last week. So I went through and I cross-referenced everything, so I can get with you tomorrow afternoon.
Good. Just get it to me so I can sit down and look at that so we can all figure out what we're at and what we're going to do. I think we got to get something licensed and we got to keep track of it, because right now we don't have anything house there.
Yeah, I can also over to the guns thing. I see that, but my also thing is for the complete accident, your house mom, house husband that decides to sell Tupperware, gun case, kids' toys, little stuff. If there's some other house that's bringing products, they go to these houses. Sometimes people come to their houses. I've done like every one of those things.
Sure.
And I'll tell you what, the profit that I've actually made out of it, it probably actually cost me money because I put this more so that people get things. So we're going to be even $25 on top of it for somebody that's just looking for a little bit of, so they can get some freebies for themselves at discounted rate by offering a less discount or, you know, really investing in that. It's fun for the expert. If I go back all, I think I've been really losing money because I did. I'm just buying for myself with all my profits. Oh, yeah, I guess I can't come out happy because I could be digging for a map on the business side.
One of the other problems here is, I know in Lakewood, anyway, I'll only speak to Lakewood, but I think the Orchard and I think a few of the others have the same problem in their HOAs. They don't allow home businesses. We don't. I mean, as an HOA, we don't do anything, really, but we have several. And we just received something at our door, a company doing, I think, plowing, landscaping plowing. Did you get that
one? I got that one.
And they've been in the subdivision, they've been doing this like for 20 years, and now they're doing it within the subdivision, and they're advertising for a business. Now, I think that those businesses, when they're making money, they're making livelihood money. I don't think it's unfair to have them paying a fee, but their HOA is going to change the rules either. We all know how that goes. It's not something that's easy or so likely to happen. But these real small businesses like Avon,
well, you know, a lot of people are making exceptions and changes, but I mean, you know,
I think there needs to be some sort of an income level at which it's truly a business and isn't a hobby. And I think everything is listed has really become a hobby.
Well, I mean, you know, we can sit down, we can look at the stuff, okay, but we can somehow get them to the register so we know who's here, who's doing what.
Right. I think that makes sense. That having a, being able to, I mean, it can be a benefit to know how many businesses we have and all the different types,
right,
even if they're small. You know, it could be a selling point for us someday, or, you know, something like that.
So what are we looking for, you know, once again, having done an insurance rep? I had an insurance office, my own actual office, but I could take business out of my house, my car, wherever I was at. I mean, set up shop, you know, whatever, and get a signal to get on my stuff and sign a deal to get a make deal. So if I know it, people just coming up. Not in my HOA when I was while living in my HOA. I think that's all I want to do my health or I'll have HOA. But I mean,
well, there's a difference though.
Like a secondary or something, just basically raising myself right now, the office manager, I'm not operating.
There's a difference between a home office and a home business.
Right. And again, we don't have to add a lot of regulation. We don't have to over-regulate it. I think that's the point. Hey, let's at least do an inventory.
Yeah,
we got it.
Inventory, get a look at what we have here. But I'm more worried about the step now. I mean, you know, it's like, somebody applying for guns, and now we split it out. Instead of somebody a couple blocks away that's already doing it now.
Having an FFL is one thing, but you know, having a transfer of goods at a residence is a frightening thing.
Especially guns and ammo and stuff like this. Like I said, the chief and I talked about it, and what we'll do is we'll look back. I'll get back to the next board meeting or two. We'll do some investigating just to see exactly what this is. I have a phone call into this person who put the license application in for us to run this own business, so I just did it this afternoon, so I had no answer when I came in tonight. So hopefully I can set up a meeting and discuss it with him and see exactly what he's planning to do or how he's planning to do it. Is it just a middleman? Is it a warehouse somewhere else? He's doing phone sales or computer sales and then he's shipping it from somewhere else? I mean, I don't know. He just said he wants to sell guns and ammo and blah, blah, blah. That's all it said on his application.
But ATF has to know
right
what times they're open, what times they're closed,
right,
that they have a safe. And they have a whole lot of stuff.
They've got to have a license.
They've got to come in. They've got to come in contact with
it. It's got to be fingerprinted by the chief.
Do gun sales online?
No.
Is it sole online?
No.
Even if it's okay, so you've written.
No, that's a big outlet in 68.
You can buy them online.
Online,
you can
browse. You can buy them, but they have to go to a federal buyer's
license. Yeah,
you can browse them. We're just going to do some more investigating, but I just want to let you know. So that's it. That's all I have to announce.
Thank you, Russ.
Steve, do you have someone on that?
I think I'm going to go to the phone. I got the money to talk about the phone business, and I got the information on the model of the phone. So when it was an event planner, and then over the week had five trucks a day come and drop and blow and drop and off and walk in. Those are the ones.
Those are the ones that can run
on a warehouse street. They're inconvenience and making using their houses and words.
It's a little cold, friend. It's all But is it in Liquid Grove or is it in the new?
In Liquid Grove.
In Liquid Grove. Okay, and there's another area that I'm thinking about that.
Yes, the Longford.
Longford is cool. I was thinking about breaking out their cul-de-sac type of thing.
Yeah, I think you're going to find some many businesses working out of garages and whatnot around here. When we were campaigning, we happened to spot a couple that were working out of their garages. It's amazing. I mean, they've got full set up floors and the whole thing. It's just amazing.
We'll start tracking them. Good. Thank you, Russ. Any new topics?
Yes. I'd like to see us give us an update on the concealed carry ordinance. Also, the reminder that 12 will be going to the textile presentation at our next meeting. And the third one is that I'd like to see come up with a recognition for current employees program for their years of service. I don't want to send a message that you have to leave before you get recognized in the class.
Yes.
So I would like to
good point, Don. Thank you.
And maybe it would be possible with a longevity pay with that.
I do think we should be recognizing people, especially for dedication and loyalty and stuff. Well done. That's one thing that people should look into.
And to have more on that, we would like some bills list to see if Marshall Swanson or some sort of training.
Sure.
Do you think we've been left behind? Thank you.
Yeah, she was, I was going to go with it to that, and we ended up short. Handed at Phillips Hall, so I had to answer phones. I couldn't make it.
You play
secretary. Yeah. Thank you, Don. Are there any other new topics?
Yes, I would like to see us revisit the tree ordinance. I think we were going to at one point. That's something that came up a while ago. We have currently an ordinance that regulates every tree and every property in the village. We need to relook at that and see whether that's necessary.
Any other new topics?
I think we just filled your
head. I did too. 2 weeks, we're set. If not, may I get a motion to adjourn? Wow. I'm going to say a motion made by Trustee Newby, seconded by Trustee Five.
Okay.
So this. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion adjourned at 7:58. Ross, 7:58. You owe me lunch.